Acting with an Accent, Stage Dialect Instruction by David Allen Stern, the Northern Scandinavian accents of Sweden and Norway. Before we begin the actual instructional sequence, where we learn pronunciations and all of the specific things that generate the Swedish and Norwegian accents, it is important that we consider a preliminary concern. That is the preliminary concern that what most Americans, be they actors or not, are actually expecting to hear when they think of a Swedish accent or Norwegian accent is not necessarily what is really spoken by the vast majority of Swedes and Norwegians when they're learning English as a second language. You're probably imprinted, your ear is, on a kind of stereotypic pattern that goes something like this. Were you expecting to hear the Swedish person or the Norwegian person talk like this? Well, I hope you wouldn't be disappointed if I was to tell you that it is very unlikely you'll ever hear many Swedes or Norwegians who talk like this. Of course, it is an over-exaggeration of certain things that really happen in these speech patterns, when the Swede or the Norwegian is speaking English. But certain of those things are blown so totally out of proportion that it is nothing but a speech pattern about a speech pattern. First of all, the which you're here when perhaps a Muppet or someone like that does a Scandinavian character. As we'll hear later, this speech pattern is real. There are indeed some Scandinavians, particularly the northern Norwegians, who use it a great deal in their language and consequently on a second language, which is accented by the Norwegian. And there are certainly some others in southern Norway and in all of Sweden who have this inflection pattern very heavily. But it is more a tool, a linguistic tool, which is used in a certain way. And we'll examine the specifics of how this is done. The other thing is that you'll hear certain people who are mimicking this, I'm going to dare in a wutent and shootent and blurstrup, where the lips are pushed forward 25 feet in front of the face. And this also is partly based on a factor that is a real part of the Scandinavian, northern Scandinavian accents. But it is not the core and the sum and substance of what a real person really speaking is going to do. So, with that, I'll give you the preliminary concern that we're going to try to sound like real people, not like cartoon characters. And at the same time, I'll try to instruct you in how to intensify and put in certain of these characteristics, but without carrying it to the point of not sounding like a real human being. With that preliminary consideration out of the way, we'll begin with lesson one, creating the inflection or lilt pattern of the Swedish and Norwegian accents. Alright, we already established that your tutor is not necessarily there all the time in this accent pattern. Let's look at what I call inflection in northern Scandinavian accents and look at three variations on the way that it's used. The first one I'm going to call syllable inflection. This considers the fact that in the Swedish and Norwegian, especially in this particular concern that we have when the Swede or the Norwegian is speaking English, on stressed syllables, there will tend to be a slightly upward inflection, even in what I would call the flat Swedish. You have, for example, the very flat Swedish accent that is spoken by someone like Björn Borg when he's talking about his tennis game, and he would say, "I couldn't believe how many match points I served and lost in the first and second sets. The ball kept going over the net. I couldn't believe how many match points I served in and lost in the first and second set." And the syllables that take the stress, the vowels that are have the accent on them, you're going to hear a slight going up and down. I couldn't believe how many match points I served and lost. It's just the slight tendency for the, I will flatten it out and not do a lot of intonation, but you can still hear that occasional upward inflection on almost every word has a very slight one. It's not something that's going like anything like that, but it's a very slight inflection. So even the large number of Swedes who have very little intonation at all in their speech and are just talking in what gives the overall impression of being quite a monotone voice, you're still going to hear the basic direction of the vowel is going to be up, down, with the louder on the upswing. Now, if I will do a line from Shakespeare to illustrate it. Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the sun of York. Even though I'm not doing a lot of up and down and it sounds fairly monotone. Now is the winter of our discontent. You don't have it on con, but on discontent, the stressed and semi-stressed syllables, made glorious summer by this sun of York. That slight upward inflection. Now, the second inflection that we must examine is what I call intonation inflection. Again, even without encroaching on the stereotypic sort of inflection, it is entirely possible that the Swede or a Norwegian will use with it up and down on the same syllable, on the stressed syllable of the word, that they'll use a specific type of inflection to give additional stress to the important words. Let's use the Shakespeare again. Instead of "now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by the sun of York." Now let's pick specific words to stress. "Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this sun of York." Different pattern. "Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this sun of York." Depending on which words are going to be stressed, you go up, down. Now this does not have to be done with a great enormous number of notes inflecting upward. It doesn't have to be "now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer." Can be very small, but still be a stress which is being used to inflect and give intonation or meaning to the specific words. Once more. "Now is the winter of our discontent made glorious summer by this sun of York." Can flow, does not have to stop the meaning of what you're saying, in fact, because this is an inflectional or intonational inflection. It reinforces the meaning and helps support the meaning of what is being said, as long as it's not done on every single word. Now, this is the thing that tends to give the stereotype. If you use what would normally be thought of as an intonational inflection, and now you start to use it on at least one syllable of every word, then you're going to have a pattern for the sake of the pattern. Or, to stop using it, a pattern for the sake of the pattern. The third stress is what I will call a melodic inflection. This is usually going to be done by someone who uses the intonational inflection I was talking about a moment ago. And it will tend to happen here with a little bit more frequently, not on every single one, but there will be a great deal of expressiveness and the musicality that works up and down. So it's going to start to border on what we were talking about before as being almost a stereotypic inflectional pattern, but it's still not happening so much that it is totally out of context of the meaning. This would be a close borderline between a stereotypic and one which is really coming out of the personality and expressiveness of the person who's doing the talking. Of course, once we start to integrate this into the whole process of acting, then it becomes clear that if there is no clarity of the intentions of the character, then this inflectional pattern or melodic inflectional pattern is going to start to sound stereotypic if it's not being done for a reason. Again, getting into that silly sing-songy stuff. So this is basically the way it's done. Let's practice using the inflections counting. I'll count 1 to 10, and we'll stress every third word with an inflectional intonation. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now there's some upward inflection on each. Let's change it now. We'll do 3 at a time, but we'll stress the second. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Notice again, 5, 6, up and down on the same syllable, on the same vowel. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. Now let's count with no pattern. 1, 2, gibberish counting. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Depending upon where the inflection and the important words are going to be placed. Di-da-dum, di-da-da-dum, going to gibberish now. Di-da-dum, di-da-da-dum, realize that it's not di-da-da-di-da-da-di-da-da-di, but di-da-da-da-dum, da-da-di-da-dum, da-da-da-di-da-dum, da-da-da-di-da-dum. And the tim being the important word now is the winter of our discontent, made glorious summer by this son of York. Play around with this gibberish, and as we're going through some of the other sentences for pronunciation and other exercises, be aware of this and how it can be used. And be sure to integrate it into your desire to stress the particular word, and not just to do it because you're thinking that 5 or 6 words went by and you haven't done an inflection in that amount of time. It is not absolutely essential, remember, for many Swedes especially, and also some Norwegians, to do this in the absence of any of these things happening at all, as long as that very slight syllable inflection is there on the stressed syllables of the words. This is the end of the introductory consideration of this inflectional pattern and how it's used in Northern Scandinavian accents.